Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Foundation Bible Study here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. We believe that the study of Scripture is important for us as followers of Christ, and I hope that you find this week's study on the Gospel of Matthew meaningful and inspiring in your own personal life. Our Bible study meets each Wednesday at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. And I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and the Family Life Center. And as always, you can find us at our website, www.fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMC Borough. The purpose of our Bible study is to help us fulfill our mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's study helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Okay, did you get your test? Look, there's a reason for this. One is we've been going hard. We've been going real hard. And I appreciate your commitment of being here, but we've pushed hard. We've covered a lot of ground. We've gotten into a lot of depth. That doesn't mean we're not going to get into some depth tonight, but we're going to have some fun doing it. The other reason that I wanted to do this is, well, there's a purpose behind this little test that you're going to see as we go along, and I'm going to mention that as we come towards the end of it. And also, from this Sunday, from this coming Sunday, we are 2 weeks away from the first Sunday of Advent, so it's kind of a way of getting us into that. Plus, we're going to be looking at some passages from Matthew tonight, going back and reviewing. So it's just kind of a fun little way, but it's also got some serious stuff to it as well. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take it together. We're going to kind of see how we do. You don't have to tell anybody except yourself. Maybe you've taken this before, and if not, you know, then here you've got it, and then you can go and give it to some other people and watch them sweat. You know, share it in your Sunday school classes. And question number one, as long as Christmas has been celebrated, it's been on December 25th. You could probably, look, this is true or false, so you got a 50% chance of getting it right off the bat. But most of you know the answer to this one. That's what? Yeah, that's false. As far as we know, there was no celebration of the Nativity until the 3rd century. It may have been celebrated before that, but as far as we know, it was not celebrated until the 3rd century, and at that time it was not celebrated on December the 25th. Does anybody know when it was celebrated first? It was a combination of the birth and the baptism of Christ and the visit of the Magi, the visit of the wise men. So that kind of gives you a clue as to when that first celebration was. You know what that date was? Well, here's another clue. The 12 days of Christmas. Does that tell you when it was? The 12 days of Christmas. We just start counting up. Start counting up. 12 days of Christmas. January 6th. So January the 6th, as far as we know, that's the earliest that we have recorded. And it was a combination, again, of birth, baptism, and the visit of the Magi. There was also something interesting, though, I find it interesting, about the picking the December the 25th. There's not any records that we have of this is the exact date of the birth. One of the reasons of picking that time was what happens around that time, around December the 25th? Not on December the 25th, but around that time. Yeah, the days are you know, they're getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Can you imagine having been, our early ancestors, not knowing the science that we know, which, by the way, doesn't mean that we're smarter, but not having that evidence. But the days are starting to get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. What do you think you would think? Oh, this is going to be it. I mean, the days are getting shorter and shorter. And what is taking over? Well, darkness is taking over. Darkness is taking over light. And then what happens around December the 25th? The days start to do what? Then it starts to switch and the days start to get longer. And the light starts to overcome the darkness. And so what happened with folks, one of the reasons of the picking of that day then was light is overcoming darkness, which goes back to the first chapter of John. Only it's not the sun, S-U-N, that is winning. It's the sun, S-O-N, that is winning and overcoming darkness. Number two, Joseph was from. Where, you know, when you take a multiple choice, there are those of you that are like me, you know, maybe not so smart, but you learned how to take tests. Is there anybody in here that learned? Look, I'm going to tell you, I learned how to take tests, and I got good at it. I got good, wasn't good at very much, but I got good at taking tests. And there's a trick on multiple choice, and part of that is you got to know what the key words are. So Joseph was from. You got two key words, Joseph and from. Where was he from? That's one of the key words there. Anybody know where Joseph was from? Where are you going to go to find this out if you don't know it? Were you going to go to one of two places? Where? Luke or? And that's one of the questions. Luke or Matthew? Those are the places where the birth story is told. So you go to Luke. If you go to Luke chapter 2, in those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be, the old Revised Standard says enrolled. You know what? I still like the King James Version on the birth story. And part of that is because Miss Manus in sixth grade had us memorize that. But the way it says in the King James is they all went to be taxed. In those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled. Each one went to his own city. So where are they going to? They're going back to where they're from. Each one went to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee. He went from the city of Nazareth, but that's not where he was from. That's where he was living at that time. Where did he go? To Judea, to the city of David, which is called what? Bethlehem. Joseph was from where? Bethlehem. How did Mary and Joseph travel to Bethlehem? Camel, donkey, walked, Volkswagen. That's it, isn't it? Volkswagen. Joseph walked and Mary rode a donkey. Is that it? Joseph walked and Mary rode a donkey. Now, what passage of Scripture is that? Joseph walked and Mary rode a donkey. No. And we're going to come back. We're not going to come. This is one of the reasons we're taking this. Okay? No, Joseph, we don't know whether Joseph walked or Mary rode a donkey. We don't know. The answer is F. Who knows? Because the Bible doesn't say. Now, I know, and you're saying right now, no. I saw this on Charlie Brown, right? Joseph walked and Mary rode that donkey. Or you saw it in a Christmas pageant somewhere. And this is important. This is the part where we're going to have fun and laugh. But this is the part where we get a bit of an understanding of why Bible study is so important. Because the images that we see get embedded in our minds. And so oftentimes, what we think the Bible says, it really doesn't say. But we're convinced of it. Why? Because we saw it somewhere or somebody told us at some point that it said that. And that's why it's really important to do Bible study, and this is just kind of a proof of it. This is F, who knows. Number four, Mary and Joseph were married when Mary became pregnant. Is that true or false? And number five, Mary and Joseph were married when Jesus was born. Is that true or false? Mary and Joseph were married when Mary became pregnant. Were they married? You remember when we studied this? That was the first night, wasn't it? It was a long time ago, wasn't it? So were they married? Well, you remember when we read the story, it said that Joseph was thinking about doing what to Mary? He was going to what? He was going to divorce her, right? You remember? Said he was going to divorce her quietly. And remember, it referred to Mary as what? He was wondering whether he was going to take Mary, his wife. You remember that? So here's the deal on this one. Is it true or false? Well, true or false? Yes, it's true or false. And it kind of depends on the way you look at it, but most of the time we look at this as if they were engaged and not married. But it was more than engaged. Remember, because the Jewish matrimonial procedure at that time was in two steps. The first step was the formal exchange of consent. That's when they would consent to be married. That's when they would say yes to that question that the minister asks today when a couple comes to get married. Will you have this man to be your wedded husband, to live together in holy state of matrimony? Will you love him and comfort him and honor and keep him in sickness and health, forsaking all others, keep the only to him as long as you both shall live? And you've asked the groom that question first, and then the bride. The groom is usually answering, knees shaking, voice trembling, yes, I will. What they're doing is they're giving their life away to each other. It's, you know, will you give yourself to this woman? Will you give yourself to this man? We call it the question of consent. It is the meat of the marriage ceremony. Well, in that day, they had that part of the ceremony, but they divided it. There was two parts of the ceremony. And there would be the formal exchange of consent, after which they would be referred to as husband and wife. But the ceremony hadn't been completed yet. After that, then, remember, the woman would go back to her family's home to live for approximately a year. The man would go back to his family's home for approximately a year, after which would be the second step in the matrimonial procedure, the formal exchange of homes, of taking the woman from her family's home and taking her to the home of the groom, where she would live. And during that transfer, it was absolutely crucial that she be transferred as a what? As a virgin. And that was the problem of what was going on in our scripture lesson. So that's why you see it. They were betrothed. That's the word you usually find in the Bible. They were betrothed. It's a little bit, some Bibles will say engaged, because it's kind of the equivalent of today, but it was more than engaged. That's the reason why in Matthew's gospel, Mary is referred to as Joseph's wife, and he was wrestling with whether he would divorce her, because they were called husband and wife, but they hadn't yet been allowed to live together. That's the reason Joseph knew that he was in trouble. Remember? All right, number six. What did the innkeeper tell Mary and Joseph? This is an easy one. Come back after the Christmas rush and I should have some vacancies. I've got a stable you can use, or there's no room in the inn. What's the answer to that one? We all know the answer to that one. What is it? Yes, see, there's no room in the inn. Nope, that's not it. You got a guess of what, you're kind of starting to get a hang of where this is going. What's the answer? None of the above. Why is that the case? I know what you're saying. Listen, I've been in Christmas pageants where I said that. There's no room. Not only did he say it, he was hacked off when he said it. Remember, he opens up the window and no room in the inn, and he slams it. Get out of here. I like those too, but here's the deal. In the Bible, no one said there's no room in the inn because there's not an innkeeper to say there's no room in the inn. Okay. There is no innkeeper in the Bible. What does it say? What does the passage say? She gave birth, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger. This is going to be important in just a minute. This is going to be one of the things where you're going to give you something to take home tonight. She laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Okay, she laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn, but there was no innkeeper that said there was no room in the inn. That's important. We're going to come back to this. So hang on to that one. We're going to come back to that one. And if you want to know where that is, by the way, where she was just reading from, that's Luke 2. Verse 7, Luke 2, verse 7, there's no word about the innkeeper. Jesus was delivered in a stable. What's the key word of this multiple choice question? Delivered. Delivered. Jesus was delivered in a stable, a manger, a cave, a barn, or unknown. Where was Jesus delivered? Stable, or that manger? Well, she laid him in a manger, so he wasn't delivered in the manger. Are you starting to catch on to this? What's the answer? Unknown. Mary laid him in a manger, But we don't really know exactly where he was delivered, but there's going to be an idea that's going to come up here as we get to the close of this, okay? Again, we're looking at what does the Bible say? Because the Bible doesn't tell us exactly. It does say there was no room in the inn, and that's a clue as to where perhaps he might have been delivered. So we're going to come back to that one. There are those who say that they think, some scholars think that it was a cave. It's not a cave in the nativity set at our house. Number nine, which animals, what's the key phrase here? Does the Bible say were present at Jesus' birth? Cows, sheep, goats, cows, donkey, sheep and goats only, miscellaneous barnyard animals, lions, tigers, and elephants, or none of the above? What's the answer? None of the above. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say. Now, you think there were animals there? Yes? Yeah. Why do you think so? What was Luke 2, verse 7? She laid him in a manger. What was a manger? Is that the next question? No, but it's coming. It's coming in. Yeah, next question. Oh, we skipped that one, didn't we? Eight, a manger is what? A manger is a feeding trough. See, a manger is a feeding trough. We're going to come back to this in just a minute. A manger is a feeding trough. So more than likely there were animals there, right? Because, well, there was a feeding trough. So more than likely there were animals, but we don't know which ones. Number 10, who saw the star in the east? Shepherds? Did shepherds see the star? No, shepherds didn't see the star. That's in Luke's gospel, right? The shepherds are in Luke's gospel. Mary and Joseph, did they see the star? No. The three kings? A and C, shepherds and the kings. Actually, in the nativity set that Amy and I set up, the shepherds and the kings are they see it. But is that biblical? Now I'm going to tell you, Amy and I are not going to change our manger scene. Okay, I don't even after this test, we're going to keep it the way it's always been. But what's the answer? None of the above. Why? Who saw the star in the east? Biblically, who saw the star? Wise men, according to Matthew, what did it say? Wise men from the east. How many? We don't know. We just know there's more than one. Now, you know what? I'll bet you sometime during Advent and Christmas, we're going to sing We Three Kings. What do y'all bet? Isn't that a great song? I love that one, We Three Kings. And every time I sing it, I think about this test right here. And I think about our Matthew study, because we've learned, well, more likely they weren't kings. And we don't know whether there were three of them. But boy, it's a great song, though, isn't it? Which is another reason. See, remember, what we think oftentimes is, well, what have we sung? What have we seen? I'm going to tell you, those visual images, if you've seen it in a Christmas pageant, well, that gets stuck up there, and it's powerful. But what we're trying to do is, what does the Bible say? When we want to be intentional about that. How many angels spoke to the shepherds? Very good. One angel, Luke 2, verse 9. And the angel said unto them, and the angel said unto them, Luke 2, verse 9, what sign did the angels tell the shepherds to look for? I love this one. I love the way, this way to baby Jesus. Wouldn't that be great if there had been a sign that said that? This way to baby Jesus. A star over Bethlehem, a baby that doesn't cry, a house with a Christmas tree, a baby in a stable, or none of the above. What's the answer? You're catching on, I bet you. What's the answer? None of the above, because what was the sign? And this shall be a sign unto you. This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. That was the sign. Okay, so the answer is none of the above. What did the angel sing? Joy to the world. Hallelujah. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Glory to God in the highest. Or Glory to the newborn king or My Sweet Lord? Now, My Sweet Lord, that was George Harrison now. You remember that, don't you? That was George Harrison that sang that one. Now, which one was it? D, glory to God in the highest. What is a heavenly, this is a little bit lame. What's a heavenly host? I don't really like this question, but, you know, who am I? What is a heavenly host? It's a whole lot of them. So what is it? What would be the answer to that? An angel army. It's a lot of, it's a heavenly host is a whole lot of them. This next one is lame too, but there was snow that first Christmas. Was there? Well, here's what's interesting. And some of you know geography a whole lot better than I do, but Mount Hermon is always snow covered. So actually, there was snow in that area on Mount Hermon because it's always snow covered. The baby Jesus cried when the doctor slapped him on his behind, just like other babies cry. When the little boy, this is my favorite, when the little drummer boy started banging on that dadgum drum, that's when he started crying. Or D, he never cried. Of those four answers, which one is it? He never cried. All right, this is one that's interesting to me. Remember, we believe that Jesus was what? Fully divine. But we also believe that he was what? Fully human. Being fully human, what do you think Jesus, the baby Jesus, did? I'm going to tell you, he was lying in a manger with a bunch of stinky sheep and cows. You bet he cried, right? Yeah, more than likely he cried like any other child because he was fully human. Fully human, fully divine. More than likely, Jesus cried. He's not crying in our nativity scene at home, but what is frankincense? You know what is frankincense? Perfume, a precious perfume. What is myrrh? Spice used for burying people. Very good. We've already answered this one. How many wise men came to see Jesus? No one knows. We just know there was more than one. No one knows. Now, there were three gifts, right? We went over that in our study, remember? But remember, have you ever been to a party and you forgot to bring a gift? Sure you have. Come on now. I know you have. And sometimes we even bring more than one. What does wise men refer to? Remember, we studied this on that first or second night. It may have been the second night. What does wise men refer to? They were looking at the star, so more than likely. So just, biblical scholars have some difference of opinion on this. But more than likely, the majority of them feel that they were astrologers because they were following the star. The wise men found Jesus in where? A manger, stable, a house, the Holiday Inn, or a good mood? The wise men found Jesus. Where did the wise men find Jesus? The manger? Stable? Where? They found him in a house. This is one that always kind of throws folks. They found him in a house. You know where that is? That's in Matthew 2. So let's flip over there just real fast. Matthew 2. Again, we're going to come back to this. We're going to close with this. Matthew 2. Verse 11, we'll start with verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. Going into the house. This is the wise men now. The wise men found Jesus in the house. Where are we? 22. 22, the wise men stopped in Jerusalem. Why did they stop in Jerusalem? This is in Matthew 2 also. Second chapter of Matthew is where this is. The wise men stopped. Remember, they stopped in Jerusalem to do what? To find out where Jesus was. Where do we find the Christmas story in order to check up on all these ridiculous questions? Where do we look? You know this one now. Where do we look to find these answers? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No. Where? Matthew and Luke. Mark starts with what? What does Mark start with? Mark starts with the baptism. Mark starts with the baptism. And John starts with what? In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God. Which one am I on? 24. When Joseph and Mary found out that Mary was pregnant with Jesus. So when Joseph and Mary found out that Mary was pregnant with Jesus, what happened? They got married. Joseph wanted to break the engagement. See, this test, they use that word engagement. It would be betrothal, but that's close enough. Mary left town for 3 months. An angel told him to go to Bethlehem. A and D or B and C? Which one do you think that is? We know one of them. We know one right off the bat. I'm going to go ahead and give you a clue that there's two. One of them, we know what? Joseph wanted, because we talked about that. Remember, Joseph was considering whether to call off, you know, and break the engagement and divorce her. The way Matthew says it, divorce her quietly. Do you know the other one, though? What the other thing that happened was? Very good. Mary left town for 3 months. And I've already got it up. Mary left town for 3 months. This is in Luke 1. This is in the first chapter of Luke is where you'll find this. The 39th verse and the 56th verse. She left town for 3 months. And why did she leave town for 3 months? She went to see cousin Elizabeth for 3 months. That's a part that we don't put in the Christmas nativity scenes when we do that. Who told Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem? Who told them to go to Bethlehem? I read it just a moment ago. Do you remember? A decree went out from Caesar Augustus to go to Bethlehem. Joseph took the baby Jesus to Egypt to show him the pyramids, teach him the wisdom of the Pharaohs, to put him in a basket in the reeds by the river. That's it, right? Because he dreamed about it, to be taxed. Joseph didn't take Jesus to Egypt. None of the above. What's the answer? Which one? D is the answer. D. And that's, again, that's in Matthew. We talked about that. That's about the second night. Matthew 2:13, because he dreamed about it. In a dream, he heard, you know, to go and take them to Egypt. I think this test was A, super, B, great, C, fantastic, or D, all of the above. What's the one? Absolutely, it's all of the above. All of the above. Let's go back as we close tonight. Let's go back to this deal about the house. I think this is really intriguing, because we're talking about this thing about no room in the inn, and that he said, you know, the innkeeper. We found out there was no innkeeper, but we do remember how it said in Luke 2. It's in the seventh verse, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. There was no place for them in the inn. Now, here's what's really, this is intriguing to me. There was no place in the inn. And the Greek word that's used there is a word katalima. And what's interesting is, there's no room in the inn. That's not the, you remember the story of, it's in the 10th chapter, the story of the Good Samaritan? And remember they took the guy to an inn? You remember that story? And you can go back and look this up. It's in the 10th chapter. It's in the 34th verse where it says they took him to an inn. What's interesting is the word there for inn, a hotel, is not katalima. It's pandokion. So it's a different word. Now, I find that interesting because also, do you remember the story where Jesus told the disciples? And this is in the 22nd chapter of Luke. So it's the same gospel, the same writer. So we're not looking at different gospels. In the 11th chapter of Luke, when Jesus tells the disciples to go to the upper room, in fact, if you'll go back and read chapter 22, verse 11, it actually says he asked them to go to the guest room. Do you remember that story? And you know what the word is there for guest room? Guess. I've given you two. Guess which one it is. Kathalema. Guest room. Here's what a lot of folks think. A lot of folks think that what may be going on here is that when they would go to, you know, Jerusalem, Bethlehem was not a big city. So when they went to Bethlehem for this taxation, for the enrollment, you would have a swarm of people going in there that didn't live there. There are some scholars that wonder whether Bethlehem, this small little town, had an inn, like a hotel, like a Pandokion. Did they even have that kind of facility? Well, maybe they did. Maybe they did. And sometimes I preach it that way because I like that, and scholars are not certain. But here's what we do know. We know at that time, the Palestinian house, for most people, was a one-room facility, okay? One-room dwelling. And if, through their lifetime, they were able to come up with enough funds, oftentimes they would build an addition to their house, a small little room that they called a guest room on the side of it. And that guest room was called a Kathalema. It was so that, you know, maybe when family came to visit or during these times of taxation and enrollment, they would have a place where other folks could stay while they were there to be enrolled. So some think that what's going on here is when they said they placed him in the manger because there was no room in the inn, there was no room in the guest room because the guest rooms had all been filled up in these houses along the way. Now here's where this is intriguing to me. The main room of the house would be one small space, but it would be built on two levels. And the reason for it being built on two levels is because during the wintertime, in inclement weather, they would bring the animals in for protection, but it also brought them in to provide heat for the rest of the family, which would live on the second level. Because what does heat do? So they would bring these animals in to the main room of their house, and then they would go sleep in that second level, and it was the first evidence that we know of central heating. Because the heat from the body of the animals would go up and heat the rest of the folks that would be sleeping there. In between the lower level and the first level, they would dig out this thing called a manger, which was the feeding trough. That being the case, it's kind of intriguing what this story may be saying to us. That it's saying that Mary wrapped Jesus in these swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room where? In the guest room. Now, where this is really intriguing to me is, and where it has great significance and meaning for me, is that there are times for me when, you know, remember in Matthew's gospel, Matthew is constantly after us about putting Jesus first. Remember we talked about that 2 weeks ago? Making sure that Jesus is a priority. Those who love son or daughter more than me are not worthy of me. Those who love son, mother, father more than me are not worthy of me. To make sure and put him first so that he's priority. Well, here's what happens when we start putting Jesus priority is, it can get challenging. I mean, it can get really challenging. Do you find that in your life? It gets really challenging to put it. There's a great, great joy that comes from it, but it can get really challenging to put him first because it starts to compete with and challenge us with the way we are taught to live in culture 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Culture tells us this is what's important. This is what's significant. Jesus comes and says, no, this is what's important. This is what's significant. And remember in one of our first couple of lessons there, we said one of the lessons that we're being taught is that Jesus came in and ushered in God's kingdom, which means there's the kingdom of the world, there's the kingdom of Jesus, and we've got to decide which one of those we're going to live. You know what sometimes I'm tempted to do? And sometimes I do. Sometimes I stick Jesus over in the guest room. Do you ever do that? Because when Jesus is over in the guest room, I don't have to mess with him. Are you with me? It's one of the great, it's the reason why a church needs church. It's the reason why I need you guys, and it's the reason why we need each other, is to keep us from sticking Jesus over in the guest room. You know what the story, this story, if it, looking at it that way, you know what this story is telling us? Is that Jesus wasn't born in the guest room. Where was he born? In the main room. And what goes on in the main room? That's where life goes on. Jesus was born in the middle of life. I want to tell you, that speaks to me every Christmas. Jesus was born in the middle of life. He was born in the middle of all of the stinky cows and cattle, in the midst of the stink of our lives. He was born in the midst of the places where we foul it up and mess it up and where we turn away. That's where he's come. He's come into the middle of our life to show us that there's a different way of living life. She laid him in a manger right there in the very middle of life. Well, I want to encourage you to maybe take that with you tonight. What does that mean for us? What does that mean for us as a church? What does that mean for each one of us tonight as we, you know, as we enter into this special season in a couple of weeks where we're preparing? You know, where's that middle of life for us? Where's that, where are those places where we're tempted to kind of push Jesus over to the side because, no, it's hard and it's challenging at times to live the way that he's called us to live. Remember the reason why we're taking this test, and I remember I told you about how it's just really, I think it's really important for us to know that a lot of times our understanding of the Bible is what we've heard from somewhere else or maybe what we've seen. You and I are living in a time in our culture that is filled with a lot of folks that are biblically illiterate. There are folks that they know a whole lot more about what the Da Vinci Code said than what the Bible said. And what we're trying to do, and the reason for this Bible study, is to turn that around. And it's not just to get head knowledge. It's to learn the message so that we can live the message. I want to thank you guys. You've given me a wonderful gift of being able to do this. This is important. This is important. This time is important. Learning the message to live the message. Constantly, all the way through Matthew's gospel, remember, we're being challenged and called to do what? Take up our cross and follow Jesus. Well, in order to follow him, we've got to know what? We've got to know where he went. In order to follow him, we've got to know where he went. How do we know where he went? How do we know where it is that he's calling us to go? The only way that I know that, I mean, the only way that I can have any idea is to get in this and stay in this. Get in this and stay in this. And be challenged by it. Poke around, dig, push, be challenged to constantly be about learning the message so that we can live the message. We'll break for a few weeks, come back in January. Let's close tonight by coming up here and pray for whatever it is that's on your heart. Let's come and pray.